This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, halfway home Monday evening with you. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. We can open up the phone lines to you. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We can open up the phone lines to you in this segment. There was a tweet, and let me tell you, Day-Day, like this was trending on Twitter, and it was all over my timeline, and people were retweeting and quote tweeting and subtweeting and whatever. They were doing every kind of tweeting that you could do. Tweaking, twerking, you know, twizzling, I mean, whatever they were doing. So this is from NBA Central. There are rumors floating around that DeJounte Murray might be available in the right deal, per Eric Pincus. Eric Pincus is salary cap strategist, capologist, writer, instructor at Sports Biz Class and Bleacher Report. Okay, he's got 72,000 followers. So again, he's not some just ham and egger. But okay, can I ask a question? Isn't every player available if the right deal comes along?
Facts.
I mean, why is that news breaking? Why is that newsworthy? That sounds like one step below Hot Take Tommy. Again, okay. So DeJounte Murray, yeah. Yeah, because again, they don't know if they can re-sign him. They don't know if he's going to sign either a contract extension with the Hawks or he tests free agency and decides to sign back with the Hawks. They don't know. And they gave up, what, 3 first-round draft picks? So, yeah, if the right deal comes. And what did we say for the last 2 months? I believe that Trae Young is the only guy that's untouchable for this organization. Outside of that, everybody is up. Because, again, they haven't done anything. They haven't capitalized off it. And that includes DeJounte Murray, or John Collins, or Clint Capella, or DeAndre Hunter. I think everybody is up for debate on this. Do I want to get rid of DeJounte Murray? No way. I think DeJounte Murray was their MVP last year. I think he was their most valuable player. I think when you look at his contributions both on the offensive and defensive side, he helped to win more games than any player on this roster, including Trae Young. Including Trae Young. So I think he's a terrific player. I want to see him be here for the long term. I want him to stay for the next 5-6 years. And I want to see what Quinn Snyder can do with DeJounte Murray and Trae Young and have those guys as a dynamic backcourt. It's it's not rumor and coincidence and things like that, that when those two guys would play really well together, that we won ball games. When they played really well, we were almost unstoppable. When those two guys had their A games on, most teams couldn't beat us. Again, we've talked about the idea of the Hawks can play with anybody. On a night-in, night-out basis, when they are motivated, they can play against anybody in the league. Now, again, we didn't see that as often, right? But there are these moments that you look at and say, why can't they consistently be like that? Why are they not consistently like that? And so, yeah, I don't doubt that, you know, DeJounte Murray, if the right deal comes along, look, let me ask you this, Day-Day. If you had to include DeJounte Murray as part of a package to get D. Brown here, would you do it? Or sorry.
Jaylen
Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
I would hate to lose Murray.
Yeah, I'd hate to lose him. But I think, I mean, you're getting with Jaylen, you're getting kind of from that defensive standpoint, you're still getting a good, you know, right, defensive player. So you're not going to really lack there. And then, of course, we know what he can do offensively. So, yeah, if that package included DeJounte for Jaylen, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. I 100% agree. If I can make my team significantly better, if the way that I have to do that is to move on from DeJounte Murray, then that's what I have to do. If I have to get Jaylen Brown to grab, you know, and lose DeJounte Murray, I can do that. I don't want to. It will hurt. It'll give me a pain in my kidney. But that, if that's what you got to do, then that's what you got to do for it. And so, look, it's just kind of funny that, you know, again, these non-rumors or, you know, I mean, we've heard John Collins' name for 3 years now in trade rumors, right? And how many times did we see that, well, the Hawks could move on from him. The Hawks may be moving on from him. And that's been 3 years worth. Off-season, trade deadline. You know, Sham Sharinia had John Collins as one of the three players who was going to get moved at the deadline. He had his list of three players that they expect to get moved at the deadline. And the only one that didn't get moved was John Collins. Why? I don't know. Maybe their sources aren't very accurate. Or maybe that they just don't want to give up guys like that for fish heads and rice. So, yeah, if I can, again, I'm not trading him for Kyle Kuzma. You know, I'm not giving him up for fish heads and rice. I'm not giving him up for a bag of beans. It has to be the right deal. Has to be right for what this organization is looking to build. So again, it's just funny how you get these kinds of stories that don't really have any teeth behind them. I mean, can I tell you that if the right deal came along to move Trae Young, they'd make that deal. If the right deal comes along, if you're a general manager of a sports franchise and you can make your team better tomorrow than it was today, if that includes moving on from some guys, then you do it. Then you do it. And you don't look back. You don't look back at that point. If you have to do those kinds of things, and look, he's probably the kind of guy that, you know, you look at and say, okay, if we could get a Jaylen Brown, he might be a very likely trade candidate. His contract is very friendly. Now, again, he's going to be a free agent come summertime, but he's a very friendly contract. It's only about $17 million this upcoming season. You could package something together. Jaylen Brown is going to make 31, 33 or something like that. He's going to make in the low 30s. You could put him as part of a package. Like I said, I don't want to lose him. I want to see Quinn Snyder work with Trae Young and DeJounte Murray and get them on the same page with one another and see what they can do. See what the ceiling is. see what this, you know, twosome can do to be one of the most dynamic backcourts in the NBA. And there's no reason why they can't be. No reason why they can't be one of the most dynamic backcourts in the NBA. But I want to see Quinn lay his hands on, you know, the idea of, okay, he's this basketball guru and, you know, savant and all this good kind of stuff. I want to see him lay hand, like he's Benny Hinn. I want to see him lay hands on Trey and DeJounte and make everything better. I want to see him, like Ernest Angley, lay hands on people. Do you feel the wrath of God inside of you? Whatever it's got to be, right? Whatever it takes for it. But yeah, now again, do I think that he's going to get traded? I don't think so. If I had to rank, I would say Trey Young is the most likely player to not get traded. I would tell you that DeJounte is number two. That DeJounte Murray is probably the second least likely guy to be traded, simply because I think they want to see what they have with Quinn Snyder working with those guys, what they have. Because that could be dynamic. That could be a dynamic backcourt. That could be one of the best backcourts in the entirety of the NBA if it isn't already. That's two high-caliber guys. So, again, do I think he's going to get moved? No. I don't think he's going to get moved. Are we ready for the Hawks to start doing some things? Yeah, I mean, let's get this regular season over with, right? Draft is a week from Thursday. Free agency will be about 8 seconds after that. Let's see what the Hawks are going to do. I don't care about the draft. You know, again, I don't care how the watch is made. Just tell me what time it is. Like, I don't care about draft picks and all that good stuff. I just want to get the guy in here and get past the draft. Then we can jump right into free agency. Trades, whatever, free agency, whatever it is. I don't care what it is. Hawks sign guys. They trade guys. They do this. Fine. Let's just get it underway and see what this roster is going to look like when the regular season is about to crank back up. So we'll see what happens here. But I don't think that, honestly, DeJounte Murray, unless, you know, it was a Jaylen Brown kind of package. You know, Jaylen Brown is a guy that, you know, it might take a DeJounte Murray to make that kind of deal happen. That might be the giveaway to all of it. And by the way, if Tony Ressler's not going to go in the luxury tax, they certainly are not going to sign DeJounte Murray to a long-term extension. If he's not going in the luxury tax this year, they ain't giving DeJounte Murray, you know, what, 170% of his salary or whatever. They're not going to give him 30 plus million. He won't get max money, but he'll be as close to that kind of player as you can get. Right? I mean, he'll make more than John Collins. He gets on the open market, he'll make more than John Collins and Capella and DeAndre Hunter. There's no reason why those guys would be 20 plus million dollar players and DeJounte Murray not be pushing toward 30. And now we're getting into max money, or obviously very close to all of it. I don't know what the actual AAV of a max deal is, but it's somewhere in that vicinity. But, you know, again, I hope that they don't move on from him and we get a chance to see what this offense can look like with a full summer training camp, you know, spring, summer league, whatever. I want to see what this organization looks like from a roster standpoint with those two guys in place. You can tell me anybody else is going to move and they're going to, you know, not be on this roster. But I want to see Trey Young and DeJounte Murray. I want to see those two guys specifically on this roster. I've become a big DeJounte Murray fan over this last year, and I want to see what he can do. And I want to see him get turned loose in a Quinn Snyder offense that, you know, could be dynamic, right? Snyder's always been one of the more dynamic offenses in the NBA. Let me have Trey and DeJounte and let me see what I can do with those two guys and make that all happen. So we'll see. But again, it's just kind of funny how, and this was everywhere on my timeline yesterday. Like every time I'm looking at Twitter.
Did it say what team? Because I didn't see.
No,
I
was busy. Just said the right deal.
Yeah.
Right deal.
Because honestly, if it were to, I could see one team. One team jumps to mind right away that I could see wanting, potentially having some interest in him. And that would be Phoenix.
Yeah, with Chris Paul being, they're going to release Chris Paul out of his contract.
Yeah, so. I could see Phoenix being like, that's the first team that came to mind as far as a team that could
be. Do you think they'd be any good if they had, I mean, let's assume that they can keep Ayton. Mm-hmm. If they had Ayton, Booker, and DeJounte, could they be any good?
I think they'd be pretty,
And that guy, what's that guy's name?
KD?
Yeah. What's his name?
I think they'd be pretty damn good.
Would they look like an all-star team?
Oh, yeah.
Well, again, we'll see what happens in all this, but I don't necessarily buy the belief of all that. All right, coming back, it'll be time for That's Life. Hey, follow up to that catfish story, and another bridge collapsed. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at it, Chuck Reese Show. 922 live from the Kia Studios. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app say catch us on the go. Social media at 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. He's at the Lewis for real. Remember we did the story last week about the catfish?
Yep.
Okay. So just
Italy,
kind of,
right?
Yeah, just kind of a follow-up. The guy that they interviewed, the guy that caught the fish, said it took him over 40 minutes to reel him in. And he didn't like save it as a trophy. He didn't weigh the fish. So he doesn't know how long it is. Now, he did say it was over, when he measured, it was over 9 feet long. So that's going to be the longest fish, the longest catfish of all time. But he said that he didn't want to weigh him and put the fish under stress and duress and all this kind of stuff, that he ended up just letting the fish go. And so it's back.
So somebody else is going to go try and
yes,
find it.
Yes, I guarantee you somebody else is going to try to go find the fish, and they probably won't throw it back. It'll be a trophy, and they'll catch it. But he said, yeah, I wanted to let somebody else have the fun of catching that fish. But he said it took him 40 minutes to reel that thing in, and he said, I didn't weigh it because I didn't want to put the fish under stress, and he just basically got him back in the water and let him go.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is. I mean, I guess at the end of the day, in this digital age with pictures and everything, the proof is there that he caught it, so there's not much really for him to have to, no reason for him to have to keep it, really.
No. It's just the trophy of it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you have a... Now, again, it's probably such an ugly... I mean, the fish was so ugly that you wouldn't want to look at it very long, right?
Right.
So, again, it was an ugly fish. But, you know, look, I give him credit because, I mean, normally you keep that as a trophy, right? I mean, when you have a 9-foot-long catfish, think about that. 9-foot-long.
Yeah.
You know, again, we see catfish that maybe weigh a couple few pounds and they're 1.5 feet long. This is 9 feet long.
Yeah.
You hook that sucker and you start fighting with it and you got to reel that into your boat.
Yeah, I can. That's why it took him, like he said, 40 minutes.
Yeah, it took him 40 minutes to fight that thing. So I don't know how hard catfish fight, because catfish are bottom dwellers, right?
Right.
So they probably immediately go down to the bottom of the lake or the river or whatever he caught it in. So I think it was a river that he caught it in. So they probably go right down toward the bottom, right? I mean, because that's where they are.
That's
where they habitat, you know, it. So anyway, crazy to think. Did you see yesterday I-95 in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Same thing that we had here in Atlanta.
Yep.
A section of the interstate on I-95 collapsed.
Yeah.
Now, what was it? It was a tanker truck
that
tipped over
and caught fire. Yep.
And obviously, all of that fuel it weakened the entire structure.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it's like, and I don't mean it funny, but it's like one section and it just tipped down inward.
Yep.
Just like a whole section that just tipped down inward. Well, at least it wasn't caused by the crackheads like here in Atlanta. So, but anyway. But that was crazy. So now Hugh Douglas has that on his resume that he is here for. The I-85 collapse.
That's true, yeah. There's probably
I-95.
Not too many people that can say that.
Yeah. I mean, he's seen some of the major highway, you know, what I want to say, highway, you know, mishaps of all time.
Yep.
So, again, I don't know if there's, you know, if Hugh's bad karma, if he's got bad juju or whatever. I mean, but certainly Hugh is, you know, in a unique position to say that he has lived in a city that has had two bridges collapse thanks to fire. I don't know how many people. I'll bet you that there are probably more Eagles that have 15 sacks in a season than there are people who can say that they lived through multiple bridges being out because of fire.
Yep.
So anyway, today is National Jerky Day, like beef jerky. So with that, and I'm not. Are you a beef jerky fan at all?
I don't mind it, but I don't buy it. Like, you know how sometimes you might go somewhere and there's like a bunch of snacks
that are
free for you and that might be there. I'll do it like that, but I don't actually go out and buy jerky.
So I don't either. If it's there, I don't know. I mean, I'm not very prone to jerky.
Right.
Maybe an occasional Slim Jim if I really get in the mood, but but not so much beef jerky. I mean, again, it doesn't have to be beef. I mean, when you go to what do you call it? Bucky's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got that jerky bar that's in there. And it's not like just, you know, lame old pieces. I mean, it's big hunks and chunks of jerky and all different types. Turkey, chicken, pork. I mean, just everything. Beef, I mean, imaginable. So with that, got me thinking. Tonight's top 10 list. Your top 10 favorite snacks. Day-Day, the floor is yours.
All right. Up first for me is cashews. That's of all the, you know, types of nuts and things. Cashews are my favorite. And then I also like butter.
So let me ask you.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I just got an order in last week.
Okay.
Have you ever gone to nuts.com?
I'm actually going on there now because my next one is butter toffee peanuts, and they have butter toffee peanuts.
So I just got a delivery last week for nuts.com. That's the first time I've used them.
Are you satisfied?
It was super fast.
Okay.
The snacks are fantastic.
Okay.
I got the organic mango, the natural organic mango,
mm-hmm.
the dried mango. Phenomenal.
Okay.
Like, I mean, it's phenomenal.
Okay.
And I also got some soy protein powder.
Okay.
And I also got their chocolate, it wasn't a protein powder, but kind of like chocolate powder.
Okay.
Because the soy protein, well, it's really high in protein, mm-hmm. doesn't have any kind of flavor to it. So I'll put in the chocolate to go along with it.
Okay.
But it's chocolate. No, sorry. Not chocolate powder. Peanut butter powder.
Peanut butter. Okay.
Yeah, it's peanut butter powder. So, and it's all the natural stuff. My daughter, I got her some stuff. She got some white chocolate almond bark. She got some chocolate, what was it? Chocolate raspberries or something like that or something like that. But like these little cut, like they're almost like little like mini Reese's cups,
gotcha.
In a way.
Okay.
But they're like raspberries and chocolate or whatever,
okay.
like that.
Yeah, so, I had been seeing their commercials a lot, and like I said, I love butter toffee
yep.
peanuts, and those are really hard to find in the store.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went on their website and saw that they have some.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm gonna order some.
I'm a big fan of nuts.com. I'm you know, and by the way, it's not D's.
Right.
Yeah, it's not D's. So not D's nuts.
Right.
All right. Anyway.
Continuing right along, the Black Forest brand of gummy bears. We actually have those in the vending machine downstairs.
What makes them so special?
I don't know. They have flavors that regular packs of gummy bears that I don't typically like. There's peach-flavored gummy bears in their packets.
Okay.
So they're really good.
So that's better
green
than
apple.
What is it, the Haribo or whatever?
Yeah. These you can really taste the flavor, like green apple,
all right.
Twizzlers, I am a fan of Twizzlers. I go back and forth. So the other one that's on here is Red Vines. So I may go on a run where it's just Twizzlers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll go on a run where it's just Red Vines. I'm going to say Grapevines because you can't find grapevines as much, but it's red vines, but they're just grape flavored. And then I have a couple of fresh baked things. Like I love fresh baked chocolate chip cookies,
mm-hmm.
and I love fresh baked brownies. And then the honey barbecue flavor Lay's, and then my last one, mint M&M's.
Honey barbecued flavor Lay's. Okay, all right, I can deal with that. And what was the last one?
The mint flavored M&M's. Love
okay.
them. Put those. I have I call it my fat boy snack. I'll just take some whipped cream, put whipped cream in a cup, throw some of the mint M&M's in there, put some more whipped cream, and just that's my snack.
Wow. The diet of champions right there. Whew. All right. So I've got this. I told you I got this. I'm loving that stuff.
Right.
So. The organic mango, almonds.
Okay.
I do like almonds. Let's see, raspberries. So I like certain things because raspberries are an antioxidant and they're
right.
an anti-inflammatory food.
I remember you telling me that.
So
yeah.
I will just like snack on some, just like a handful of raspberries, just, you know, to give that antioxidant property. Tortilla chips.
Okay.
Could be salsa dip, could be bean dip. Doesn't really matter what the dip is, but I like tortilla chips.
Okay.
A cup of yogurt. So I just take a cup of yogurt every day for lunch. I take a cup of either 0 or 2 gram sugar
mm-hmm.
Yogurt, like Greek yogurt.
Right.
And I'll take one of those as a cup just for my lunch every
okay.
day. So I do like, it doesn't matter what flavor, but I mean, just I like a low to no sugar cup of yogurt. Pringles.
Oh, I used to love Pringles. What's your flavor?
Probably the cheddar.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm a sour cream.
Pizza's another one.
I never tried the pizza.
I I can eat a whole tube.
Yeah, same here.
I mean, I just, you know.
It's sad because I got my two-year-old eating them now.
Yeah, I find myself when I start, they're so easy to eat.
They
right?
are.
They're so light and they easy are. To eat. And I find myself eating a whole tube. I've been doing this since my stroke, but walnuts.
Okay.
I just snack on walnuts. Like, I have a little cup of walnuts
right.
before I go to bed or just, you know. But I'll have little snacks of walnuts.
So growing up,
by the way, I'm guessing that nuts.com has got walnuts.
Oh yeah, they've got all of them. They've got all of them. But growing up, my mother
these they don't have these.
No, they don't have these. But in South Carolina, my grandmother used to like my mother and her siblings. They'd go home and get walnuts
right.
and you
right.
know bring them back up when
right.
this is when we were living up north. And
supposedly it's good brain food.
Yeah.
I mean, supposedly that you know the thing is it's good brain food. So, and I need all the help my brain can get. What part of South Carolina?
They are from Lake City, which is in between Florence and Columbia.
Okay, all right,
yeah,
nice.
So, but they would get them, and you know, she'd bring bags home, and you know, we'd actually crack them.
Nice. Okay. Bananas. I have a banana every day.
Okay.
So sometimes at breakfast, sometimes at lunch, but I eat a banana every day.
Yeah, I put them in my smoothies. I make my own smoothies.
Yeah, so I do eat a banana every day. A raw avocado.
Okay.
Like I'll just eat a raw avocado.
Really?
I'll cut an avocado in half and just literally spoon it right out of the shell.
Do you put it so no flavor? Do you put any type of seasoning?
Nope.
Nothing. You just
nope.
eat it.
No, nope.
oh, wow.
I just eat it raw right out of the shell.
Okay.
I'll just eat it raw right out of the shell. So, then my final one is. Dark chocolate.
Okay.
And not milk chocolate.
Right,
but
dark chocolate.
But
yeah.
cocoa. Like cocoa-based. I mean,
yeah.
So again, this is one of those things that supposedly is good for your brain. It's an antioxidant, okay? Not milk chocolate, like a milk chocolate Hershey's bar, but this is dark
right.
chocolate. This is like when it's like 96, 93% cocoa.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, the cocoa chocolate
right.
And I'll,
exactly
and supposedly the higher the percentage the better it is for you. So if you get it into the like 93-96% range, that's supposed to be the best for you.
Wow.
So
okay.
there you go. I don't know what that means, but I mean it's supposed to be the best. Anyway, all right, hit us up with your list as well. Tori McElhaney joined us earlier in the show. What she had to say about the Falcons as we get ready for mandatory minicamp coming up tomorrow. Chuck Green and Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Monday evening with you. Well, Falcons mandatory mini camp gets cranked up tomorrow, as everybody will be reporting, and that will go on this particular week. And we head out to the waitfor.com hotline. Our friend of the show, she covers all things Atlanta Falcons for AtlantaFalcons.com. Tori McElhaney is joining us. You can follow her on her personal Twitter page at Tori_McElhaney. Tori, as always, appreciate a few minutes here tonight on the show. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Happy to hop on.
So I want to ask you about a couple of different players that I'm intrigued by what your thoughts are about what their role is going to be this upcoming season. I'll start with first Jalen Mayfield, who obviously the last time we saw Jalen Mayfield, he missed all of last year, struggled in that first year where he was pretty much thrown into a starting role that probably wasn't fair to him, but what do you think his role is going to be this year? I know we've seen him working out back at tackle, but what do you think the plan is for him this year?
Yeah, I think that if you're just looking at a way for Jalen Mayfield, I think to, if I'm being completely honest, stay on this roster, I do kind of see him in that swing tackle type role, like being able to play tackle when you need him and being able to play inside at guard when you need him. I go back to, you know, he was a player not unlike Matthew Bergeron, who we're seeing now, who played a vast majority, if not his entire college career, at tackle. And I think that it was really hard for him to kind of come in and be able to play at the level that I think they needed him to. And you talk about it kind of being unfair, and I think there was no one that was kind of thrown to the wolves the way that Jalen Mayfield was his first year in the league. And then he's going through this back injury that lingered all throughout last year. And I think really and truly get now into his third year in the league, and you're just trying, I think, to make him comfortable again. You know, like, this is a guy who I think was really, really beat up that first year, was injured all through his second year. Just getting him, like, back on the field and being comfortable is, I think, the step that the Falcons need to take with him right now. And I think it's what they're doing actively by allowing him to kind of go back to his roots at tackle.
And, you know, I wonder if the Falcons maybe learned their lesson with Jalen Mayfield, because, again, Bergeron is a guy who played nothing but tackle, but they immediately plugged him into the left guard spot. And, you know, when Mayfield was a rookie, he was filling in for Caleb McGarry at that right tackle spot, and then
right. All
of a sudden he feels, you know, all of a sudden he has to start all year long. I wonder if there was a learning lesson that this coaching staff said, okay, if we're going to install a guy at a new position, let's get him acclimated right away.
Yeah, I feel like that has to be in the back of your head if you're this Falcons coaching staff. And, you know, just in terms of they always talk about, you know, putting their players in the best possible position for themselves, not for anybody else, for who they are as a player right now in their careers. Well, it was kind of a out of necessity that Jalen Mayfield had to play at that left guard position and kind of doing something that he'd never done before. And I think with Matthew Bergeron, I think that's why you're seeing a guy like Matt Hennessy getting the vast majority of the would-be first team reps at left guard, because, you know, there is a learning curve you're just talking about, like, the muscle memory of playing guard and tackle is just different. And so if you're Matthew Bergeron, there needs to be time to acclimate yourself to a new position that you've never played before. And I think that's really smart on the Falcons to kind of try and ease him into it and not kind of go the Jalen Mayfield route where it's like, all right, you're a guard, go out there and start and try and protect Matt Ryan.
And you know, Tori, you wrote a good article about the positionless football team that is. You can check out her work at AtlantaFalcons.com. But the article talks about guys that are versatile. But, you know, at the same time, it's not beer league softball, you know, where you play third base in game one and you play second base in game two and center field in game three, and then your buddies and, you know, you go out for chicken wings and beer afterward. I mean, it's not that easy. And so you, on one hand, you say, well, he's just playing one spot inside. Yeah, but there's a whole series of things to learn when you're a tackle versus a guard. And, you know, I wonder that, I know we've seen this over, you know, the last couple of years with Arthur Smith, that they work their rookies into the regular season at a slower pace than maybe some other teams do.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I go back to the example of Richie Grant. You know, Richie Grant was a second round pick. And I think when you're in that second round, you know, anywhere in the second round, I think a lot of times people automatically kind of think of a second round pick in the same way they think of a first round pick, where they're coming in and they should start right away or within the first five games. And with Richie Grant, they really did take their time to develop him over his rookie year, where they had him playing special teams a whole lot. He was really important to special teams, and he was kind of getting his reps behind some veteran guys that they had on one-year deals. And I think, honestly, when I look back at the trajectory of Richie Grant as an example, I do think that he's somebody that benefited from that kind of slower pace of, we don't have to get this guy and throw him out to the fire and have him drink water out of a fire hydrant in order to go out and play well. And I think that served him really, really well, because I've had conversations with him where he was, you know, talking about that first year and how he maybe wasn't even ready to the point of being able to go out there and play at the speed that he needed to. But then he comes in that second year and feels a lot more prepared. And that it goes back again to making sure that your players are in the best position for themselves. And I just use that example because I think it's so poignant to kind of what we're talking about.
Tori McElhaney from AtlantaFalcons.com joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. So the other player I want to ask you about is a guy that I really like, and I'm curious now with the Jesse Bates signing. What do you think happens with Jalen Hawkins this year?
Yeah, I'm really curious about that, too. You know, it's really funny because in the last, like, 2.5 weeks of voluntary OTAs, that Jesse Bates, Jalen Hawkins, and Richie Grant have only, I think, been together, like, one day that I've seen. I mean, granted, it's only open to the media, like, one day a week. But, you know, Jesse had a baby, and Jalen wasn't there for something, and Richie wasn't there. So we haven't seen really all three of them together. I'm really excited about this coming week, mandatory minicamp, and kind of seeing those three guys together, because I do think that if you're Jerry Gray and you kind of are looking at the safety position, you feel really, really good that you have three solid starters at that spot that you can rotate in and out as you see fit. So I'm really curious to see how that rotation shakes out as well. I'm just as curious, I think, as everybody else. And so far, we just haven't really had that much of an opportunity to see it actively.
You know, if we kind of fantasy book and have a little bit of fun with things, you know, the Falcons were the first team in NFC history to have two players that ran for 1,000 yards in a season. They were the first team. It had been done three times in the AFC before that. But, you know, I look at the idea of when you factor in a few things, the fact that Tyler Allgeier, Bijan Robinson, they can pick up a lot of yards in a hurry. They're running behind a really good offensive line, especially when you start running behind that right side. And Allgeier averaged almost 5 yards a carry. I think it was 4.9 yards per carry. He had a really good, I think it was 3.6 yards after contact per carry number. I just wonder if you don't want to put Desmond Ridder in, you know, some high leverage situations that you don't need to, I wonder if they couldn't end up with a couple of guys that run for 1,000 yards in Allgeier and Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, I'm not putting that past Arthur Smith at all. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. A young quarterback's best friend is a consistent and productive run game. Mm-hmm. And I really do think that you saw that in the last four games of the 2022 season, and how much, you know, if something isn't working, my favorite quote of the entire, and I hope I can say this on the radio, but my favorite quote of the entire season last year was when Arthur Smith went over to the offensive line and just said, "We're going to run the piss out of the ball." And then they go on for the next 14 plays and just ran the ball. Mm-hmm. And that was in the middle of the season. And so I think it's one of those things that when you have Bijan Robinson, you have Tyler Allgeier, and let's not forget Cordarrelle Patterson. I mean, these are the guys who, you know, are going to get the ball handed off to them, and they're going to get their yards, especially with this offensive line blocking for them. So why not do that? You know, it allows you to control the clock, and it allows you to kind of do what you want to in that regard, and you know that you can do it because you saw how they did it last year. I just think that if you're Desmond Ridder, you're just so happy that you're in a situation where you have Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson and Cordarrelle Patterson, along with, you know, Kyle Pitts and Drake London, but those guys specifically, that if things aren't working, you can hand the ball off to them and they can get 5 yards.
Potty mouth Tory McElhaney joining us here on the waitfor.com now. Good. From AtlantaFalcons.com. You know, obviously with Avery Williams out and he's your main punt returner, and I'm curious, I know Arthur put out some names, got D. Alford and a couple other guys, but you think that there is a chance that we see Cordarrelle Patterson where maybe if his role is sort of reduced, what they do on offense, could his role increase in special teams? I think he's going to run kicks back, but I wonder if he'll get in the mix for punt returns as well.
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that is, you know, I think that I would absolutely keep him on kick returns, and I think he wants to be on kick returns. But when it turns, that's not necessarily something that Cordarrelle Patterson has done a whole lot of. He's a kick returner. He's not necessarily a punt return guy. And I think that's why Avery Williams' role was so important, is because they could kind of like tag team that. And it wasn't up to Cordarrelle Patterson to return punts. Not saying that he wouldn't do it or that he wouldn't want to do it, but I just think that there are opportunities for some other guys who I think would maybe be better suited right now in their careers to return punts. I mean, we're talking about Cordarrelle Patterson. Again, I could say this and he could hear this and be like, well, now I'm going to go return punts because Tory said I'm too old to do it. And, and then I would be like, please go ahead, do it. But I really do think like a guy like Dee Alford or Penny Hart, someone like that, that's kind of like a role player to a certain extent, could come in and fill that role of what Avery Williams was on that 53-man roster. And I'm not saying that they're going to play to the level of Avery Williams. I mean, we think about how good Avery Williams was in 2022, and he was had the highest average of punt return yards in the league last year by 3 yards. I think he was at 16.2, and the next closest was 13.2. I mean, that everybody was talking about, like, we don't need another receiver or running back, and, you know, so sorry, Avery Williams, but that wasn't what his role was. His role is on special teams and what he can do in the return game. And so that's just my two cents. I got off on a tangent there, but I do think that it's an opportunity for some other guys who are kind of playing a different role to make this 53-man roster.
Last question for you, Tory. I have been preaching that I think the key stat to look at is red zone offense. And, you know, they were 24th in Arthur's first year as far as touchdown percentage, 14th last year. Look, I've said if they can be 67%, which would give them a top five finish, and there's no reason why they shouldn't be. I mean, with Pitts and London and Smith and Jonnu Smith and just Patterson and, you know, Algier and, you know, all the guys that we know that they have. But I really do look at the idea of this should be an elite red zone offense. Like, there's no reason why that they shouldn't be elite in that end of the field.
I completely agree. And it's something that I know Arthur Smith has said on a few occasions, that a goal of his in 2023 is to make this offense more explosive. And while I completely agree with that, I think, like, in terms of explosives, they weren't really getting that many towards the end of last season. And I do agree with him when he says that. But to me, it really is about being like a really, really good offense inside the 20. And if you take, you know, if you're not having explosives to get all the way down to the 20, but then you can punch it in pretty easily, I'll take that every single day. I really will. And so I think that it's like, when I look at this team and what you hope that they can be inside the red.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer, first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Monday evening with you. Well, Falcons mandatory mini camp gets cranked up tomorrow, as everybody will be reporting, and that will go on this particular week. And we head out to the waitfor.com hotline. Our friend of the show, she covers all things Atlanta Falcons for AtlantaFalcons.com. Tori McElhaney is joining us. You can follow her on her personal Twitter page at Tori_McElhaney. Tori, as always, appreciate a few minutes here tonight on the show. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Happy to hop on.
So I want to ask you about a couple of different players that I'm intrigued by what your thoughts are about what their role is going to be this upcoming season. I'll start with first Jalen Mayfield, who obviously the last time we saw Jalen Mayfield, he missed all of last year, struggled in that first year where he was pretty much thrown into a starting role that probably wasn't fair to him. But what do you think his role is going to be this year? I know we've seen him working out back at tackle, but what do you think the plan is for him this year?
Yeah, I think that if you're just looking at a way for Jalen Mayfield, I think to, if I'm being completely honest, stay on this roster, I do kind of see him in that swing tackle type role, like being able to play tackle when you need him and being able to play inside at guard when you need him. I go back to, you know, he was a player not unlike Matthew Bergeron, who we're seeing now, who played a vast majority, if not his entire college career, at tackle. And I think that it was really hard for him to kind of come in and be able to play at the level that I think they needed him to. And you talk about it kind of being unfair, and I think there was no one that was kind of thrown to the wolves the way that Jalen Mayfield was his first year in the league. And then he's going through this back injury that lingered all throughout last year. And I think really and truly getting now into his third year in the league, and you're just trying, I think, to make him comfortable again. You know, like, this is a guy who I think was really, really beat up that first year, was injured all through his second year. Just getting him, like, back on the field and being comfortable is, I think, the step that the Falcons need to take with him right now. And I think it's what they're doing actively by allowing him to kind of go back to his roots at tackle.
And, you know, I wonder if the Falcons maybe learn their lesson with Jalen Mayfield, because again, Bergeron is a guy who played nothing but tackle, but they immediately plugged him into the left guard spot. And you know, when Mayfield was a rookie, he was filling in for Caleb McGarry at that right tackle spot, and then All of a sudden he has to start all year long. I wonder if there was a learning lesson that this coaching staff said, okay, if we're going to install a guy at a new position, let's get him acclimated right away.
Yeah, I feel like that has to be in the back of your head if you're this Falcons coaching staff. And, you know, just in terms of they always talk about, you know, putting their players in the best possible position for themselves, not for anybody else, for who they are as a player right now in their careers. Well, it was kind of a out of necessity that Jalen Mayfield had to play at that left guard position and kind of doing something that he'd never done before. And I think with Matthew Bergeron, I think that's why you're seeing a guy like Matt Hennessy getting the vast majority of the would-be first team reps at left guard, because, you know, there is a learning curve you're just talking about, like, the muscle memory of playing guard and tackle is just different. And so if you're Matthew Bergeron, there needs to be time to acclimate yourself to a new position that you've never played before. And I think that's really smart on the Falcons to kind of try and ease him into it and not kind of go the Jalen Mayfield route where it's like, all right, you're a guard, go out there and start and try and protect Matt Ryan.
And you know, Tori, you wrote a good article about the positionless football team that is, you can check out her work at AtlantaFalcons.com. But the article talks about guys that are versatile, but you know, at the same time, it's not beer league softball, you know, where you play third base in game one and you play second base in game two and center field in game three, and then your buddies and, you know, you go out for chicken wings and beer afterward. I mean, it's not that easy. And so you, on one hand, you say, well, he's just playing one spot inside. Yeah, but there's a whole series of things to learn when you're a tackle versus a guard. And, you know, I wonder that, I know we've seen this over, you know, the last couple of years with Arthur Smith, that they work their rookies into the regular season at a slower pace than maybe some other teams do.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I go back to the example of Richie Grant. You know, Richie Grant was a second-round pick, and I think when you're in that second round, you know, anywhere in the second round, I think a lot of times people automatically kind of think of a second-round pick in the same way they think of a first-round pick, where they're coming in and they should start right away or within the first five games. And with Richie Grant, they really did take their time to develop him over his rookie year, where they had him playing special teams a whole lot. He was really important to special teams, and he was kind of getting his reps behind some veteran guys that they had on one-year deals. And I think, honestly, when I look back at the trajectory of Richie Grant as an example, I do think that he's somebody that benefited from that kind of slower pace of, we don't have to get this guy and throw him out to the fire and have him drink water out of a fire hydrant in order to go out and play well. And I think that served him really, really well, because I've had conversations with him where he was, you know, talking about that first year and how he maybe wasn't even ready to the point of being able to go out there and play at the speed that he needed to. But then he comes in that second year and feels a lot more prepared. And that it goes back again to making sure that your players are in the best position for themselves. And I just use that example because I think it's so poignant to kind of what we're talking about.
Torrey McElhaney from AtlantaFalcons.com joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. So the other player I want to ask you about is a guy that I really like, and I'm curious now, with the Jesse Bates signing, what do you think happens with Jalen Hawkins this year?
Yeah, I'm really curious about that too. You know, it's really funny because in the last like 2.5 weeks of voluntary OTAs, that Jesse Bates, Jalen Hawkins, and Richie Grant have only, I think, been together like one day that I've seen. I mean, granted, it's only open to the media like one day a week. But, you know, Jesse had a baby, and Jalen wasn't there for something, and Richie wasn't there. So we haven't seen really all three of them together. I'm really excited about this coming week, mandatory minicamp, and kind of seeing those three guys together, because I do think that if you're Jerry Gray and you kind of are looking at the safety position, you feel really, really good that you have three solid starters at that spot that you can rotate in and out as you see fit. So I'm really curious to see how that rotation shakes out as well. I'm just as curious, I think, as everybody else. And so far, we just haven't really had that much of an opportunity to see it actively.
You know, if we kind of fantasy book and have a little bit of fun with things, you know, the Falcons were the first team in NFC history to have two players that ran for 1,000 yards in a season. They were the first team. It had been done three times in the AFC before that. But, you know, I look at the idea of when you factor in a few things, the fact that Tyler Allgeier, Bijan Robinson, they can pick up a lot of yards in a hurry. They're running behind a really good offensive line, especially when you start running behind that right side. And Allgeier averaged almost 5 yards a carry. I think it was 4.9 yards per carry. He had a really good, I think it was 3.6 yards after contact per carry number. I just wonder if you don't want to put Desmond Ridder in, you know, some high leverage situations that you don't need to, I wonder if they couldn't end up with a couple of guys that run for 1,000 yards in Allgeier and Bijan Robinson.
Yeah, I'm not putting that past Arthur Smith at all. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. A young quarterback's best friend is a consistent and productive run game. Mm-hmm. And I really do think that you saw that in the last four games of the 2022 season, and how much, you know, if something isn't working My favorite quote of the entire, and I hope I can say this on the radio, but my favorite quote of the entire season last year was when Arthur Smith went over to the offensive line and just said, "We're going to run the piss out of the ball." And then they go on for the next 14 plays and just ran the ball. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, that was in the middle of the season. And so I think it's one of those things that when you have Bijan Robinson, you have Tyler Allgeier, and let's not forget Cordarrelle Patterson. I mean, these are guys who, you know, are going to get the ball handed off to them and they're going to get their yards, especially with this offensive line blocking for them. So why not do that? You know, it allows you to control the clock and it allows you to kind of do what you want to in that regard. And you know that you can do it because you saw how they did it last year. I just think that if you're Desmond Ridder, you're just so happy that you're in a situation where you have Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson and Cordarrelle Patterson, along with, you know, Kyle Pitts and Drake London. But those guys specifically, that if things aren't working, you can hand the ball off to them and they can get 5 yards.
Potty mouth Tori McElhaney joining us here on the WaitForIt.com now. Good. From AtlantaFalcons.com. You know, obviously with Avery Williams out and he's your main punt returner. And I'm curious, I know Arthur put out some names, got D. Alford and a couple other guys. But you think that there is a chance that we see Cordarrelle Patterson where maybe if his role is sort of reduced, what they do on offense, could his role increase in special teams? I think he's going to run kicks back, but I wonder if he'll get in the mix for punt returns as well.
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that is, you know, I think that I would absolutely keep him on kick returns, and I think he wants to be on kick returns. But when it turns, that's not necessarily something that Cordarrelle Patterson has done a whole lot of. He's a kick returner. He's not necessarily a punt return guy. And I think that's why Avery Williams' role was so important, is because they could kind of like tag team that. And it wasn't up to Cordarrelle Patterson to return punts. Not saying that he wouldn't do it or that he wouldn't want to do it, but I just think that there are opportunities for some other guys who I think would maybe be better suited right now in their careers to return punts. I mean, we're talking about Cordarrelle Patterson. I could say this and he could hear this and be like, "Well, now I'm going to go return punts because Tori said I'm too old to do it." And then I would be like, "Please go ahead, do it." But I really do think like a guy like D. Alford or Penny Hart, someone like that, that's kind of like a role player to a certain extent, could come in and fill that role of what Avery Williams was on that 53-man roster. And I'm not saying that they're going to play to the level of Avery Williams. I mean, we think about how good Avery Williams was in 2022, and he was had the highest average of punt return yards in the league last year by 3 yards. I think he was at 16.2, and the next closest was 13.2. I mean, that everybody was talking about, like, we don't need another receiver or running back, and, you know, so sorry, Avery Williams, but that wasn't what his role was. His role is on special teams and what he can do in the return game. And so that's just my two cents. I got off on a tangent there, but I do think that it's an opportunity for some other guys who are kind of playing a different role to make this 53-man roster.
Last question for you, Tori. I have been preaching that I think the key stat to look at is red zone offense. And, you know, they were 24th in Arthur's first year as far as touchdown percentage, 14th last year. Look, I've said if they can be 67%, which would give them a top five finish, and there's no reason why they shouldn't be. I mean, with Pitts and London and Smith and Jonnu Smith and just Patterson and, you know, Allgeier and, you know, all the guys that we know that they have. But I really do look at the idea of this should be an elite red zone offense. Like, there's no reason why that they shouldn't be elite in that end of the field.
I completely agree. And it's something that I know Arthur Smith has said on a few occasions, that a goal of his in 2023 is to make this offense more explosive. And while I completely like agree with that, I think like in terms of explosives, they weren't really getting that many towards the end of last season. And I do agree with him when he says that. But to me, it really is about being like a really, really good offense inside the 20. And if you take, you know, if you're not having explosives to get all the way down to the 20, but then you can punch it in pretty easily, I'll take that every single day. I really will. And so I think that it's like when I look at this team and what you hope that they can be inside the red zone, inside the 20, it is something that I'm kind of like, okay, they don't have to be super explosive. They want to run the ball the whole way to the 15-yard line and then Desmond Ridder tosses one up to Drake London in the back of the end zone, by all means do it. However you got to get there, but it wasn't ever – The Falcons' issues last year wasn't ever getting to the red zone. It was punching it in when they got there. And I think that's the difference.
She covers the Atlanta Falcons for AtlantaFalcons.com. Tori McElhaney joined me on the WadeFord.com hotline. Follow her on her personal Twitter page, @Tori_McElhaney. Tori, as always, appreciate a few minutes with the show tonight, and we will chat again here soon.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. Y'all have a good week.
You got it. Chuck Ray in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.